Greetings, dear ones. I am Cryon of Magnetic Service. And so the message this evening is the same as it was the evening before. And depending upon that which my partner does, which will determine that which is then broadcast as an audio transcription. For I gave it to him last night for the first time so that he would understand. And it would not be a surprise today. And in that, there comes a greater understanding and a better wisdom. For the things which we wish to present this evening are new. New to some. But we speak now about a premise that we have not spoken of before. Not in this detail. And one that will then be very, very outstanding to you. Perhaps a bit unbelievable. It is a premise that has to do with physics, but everything to do with you. A premise that has to do with the energy that you sit in now. A few moments ago, when we opened this door, we ask, is the man pretending? And we ask that so that you will have discernment and you will know. For here is a message that will go to the core. Here is a message that is unbelievable to some. And so, because of its nature, we bring you the practical part as well. We fill a little of it with science. A three-dimensional aspect that will anchor that which might sound unbelievable. We present to you that which someday your scientists will see. Some of them are beginning to see it now, not understanding what it could mean, how it works, or what truly is the core. But you can't deny it's there. And in order to do this properly, we will present it in pieces and parts. Here is the premise. That as you open the door to that which is quantum in your science, you are going to discover the first kind of physics that is always benevolent. That is to say, you're about to open a door and look at something which is not linear, which has a bias, the bias of benevolence. Is it possible that there is an actual energy in physics that is biased benevolently? And that doesn't make sense. Because physics is supposed to be absolute, that is to say, there are rules, and then there are rules, and then there are rules. And you want to formalize it, and you used to want to understand that it might be random. We speak about quantum physics as being random. But is it? And if not, why would it be biased benevolently? This is going to sound like science, and it is not all science. We want to give you this information because it ties in with the creative energy that you are experiencing now, dear human being. Difficult to know how to begin. Difficult to know how to explain this in a way that you will actually understand what we are saying. So let us start with this. Your science believes at the moment that quantum physics has to do with the way small particles react. Particles that are so small, they are particles of light, they are molecules of DNA. So small, you have to see them under an electron microscope. This is quantum mechanics. And it's only seen there. And now we're going to give you something else to think about. This that you see in the very small also occurs in the very large. And so we'll start there. We're going to start with the premise of the creation of galaxies. And I have said it before that each galaxy in the universe has its own physics. And some of them are very similar, but all of them are different. And if you could know the differences, you'd wonder why, and I will tell you it's because of what's in the middle. Because your physics, 3D and quantum, is determined by what happens in the middle of each creative galaxy. The creation energy in the middle, that bipolar energy, that push and pull, what we have called the twins that are in the middle of your galaxy, which you see in 3D as a singularity, is really double. It determines your physics. And it's different for every galaxy. Science doesn't know that yet. And we give this to you so that when they discover it, you can say you heard it here. It gives credibility to everything else I'm going to say. Let us start with the astronomer. Dear astronomer, do you believe in God? And the astronomer will think for a moment, and the astronomer will say, I am not one to define divinity. And it's not my science. And so you will ask him instead, all right, what do you see that might be interesting to you? And this is where the astronomer lights up and says, all right, I will tell you what is interesting to all of us. We've discovered something we don't understand. There are physical principles in large things that do not apply to orbital mechanics as you have learned them in Newtonian and Euclidean physics. And they will say it's odd to us that the galaxy moves as one plate, almost like the stars were pebbles glued upon it. It all rotates together. There has to be some kind of energy that holds that. For orbital mechanics, as you know them, has to do with gravity and magnetics. Orbiting objects around a fulcrum, which is a sun, seeks its natural place of orbit based upon its mass. Further away, closer together, the speed. Smaller items go faster, slower items go slower that are bigger. That's what your solar system does, but not a galaxy. The galaxy has something in the middle, which must be gravity-based, and yet everything moves around it as one. There is a unity there. We don't understand it. But that's not all. Then they will tell you something that you cannot believe. It has to do with what we would call the random factor. So we're going to call this channeling the quantum factor. Something you didn't expect is happening before you. In your three-dimensional reality, everything that happens on the Earth seems to be in a random state, and that is to say a bell-shaped curve. If you were to roll a dice over and over thousands of times, you would see this bell-shaped curve, or you would see a consistency of randomness. And that is what you call the way things work. That's what you expect. And there's no bias to it. Especially when you would roll dice. You expect to see a certain kind of statistical curve that is random. Back to the astronomer. The astronomer is saying this: everywhere we look at what you would call the creating energy of the universe, that which made the universe, the energy that is responsible for its actual existence, is incredibly biased. It would be like if you rolled a dice and you got six, and then 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 six. It is beyond the realm of randomness. It shows and shouts there had to be intelligent design. Now, I'm not talking about a metaphysical person. I'm talking about an astronomer. Everywhere they look, against all odds, the universe is benevolently designed for life. They've used the term intelligent design. I use the term benevolent design. And I will tell you that that energy that glues the solar systems of your galaxy together, over 100 billion stars, is a giant quantum hand that sits upon the galaxies of your universe like the hand of God, a quantum benevolent hand, and they all move together. By the way, if they didn't, they'd all crash into each other. Like your solar system, there would be chaos in the way of speeds, distances, sizes, and there isn't. Instead, it all moves in unity. And the astronomers say it shouldn't. And the astronomers say it's like rolling six 1,000 times. How can this be? It is the first of many examples we are going to give you. This is the quantum factor, the very creator of the universe. Biased in love, biased for life, biased in benevolence. And here you are sitting in the little blue jewel, that Earth that shouldn't actually exist. And the only thing that allows it to exist is intelligent design. How long did it take for science to come to this? An agreement. It's out of statistical probability. Oh, the astronomer still will not use the God word. Intelligent design is as good as it gets. But at least they have been accurate in describing it. A benevolence that is the creator of the universe. Think of that. What does this mean to you? If there is a benevolence in the overall creation of the universe, allowing for life, allowing for this Earth to exist, it means that other Earths exist. There's life everywhere. We've told you that. However, we sit in a very special one. The planet that is the only planet of free choice anywhere. There's only one in every universe. And there have been other planets of free choice, graduate planets of free choice, then giving the seeds of what they have graduated from to you to continue. And here you are. The creative energy in you has the wisdom of the ages, the wisdom of the ages of your galaxy, not of your Earth. Others before you, in the billions of years that this galaxy has existed and has rotated as one object, there have been many of these tests all over, and every single one that graduates to a new level of benevolence picks up that quantum energy that is biased in love and passes it to the next planet. It is a long-term deal. And you will do the same. And as you pass this benevolence, it actually shapes the next universe and how intelligent the design will be. It has been around a long time to get to this place where physics can be shown to have an attitude. An attitude of benevolence. That's the big picture. Oh, let's move to a medium one. Let me take you to an experiment over a decade ago. Two men. In Scotland, Scott Strachan, physicist, and a medical doctor, Dr. Todd Ovakaitis, my partner's friend. What a coincidence they met in this lifetime. Those two men are together. The physicist and the medical doctor come up with something. They are the first team of scientists to develop a controllable quantum event. That is to say, they have an invention that creates quantum energy. They've done it by opposing laser energies out of phase through what we would call a quantum holographic lens. An actual shift of time occurs. And the quantum soup that is in that energy, although it is very small, is controllable. Now, they're not the first humans on the planet to create a quantum energy. They're only the first ones to create a controllable quantum energy. The first human to create a quantum energy was Nikola Tesla. He couldn't control it, but he knew it was there, and he had seen it over and over. But what they did next, and over the last decade, and continuing into the next one, shows the quantum factor. For they then applied this little quantum soup that they had invented to biology. And every time they imbued this energy into a biological test or experiment, they got healing. And what are the odds of that? That you would then develop some kind of an energy on the planet that had never been seen before, and everywhere you put it, good things happen. What are the odds of that? It's like rolling six, and then six, and then six. Are you starting to see a pattern? When this quantum energy is able to be reproduced in other laboratories, there will be those, and there always are, that will try to weaponize it. It'll be the first energy ever discovered that won't allow it. It can't be weaponized because it is benevolent. Imagine a quantum energy that's just simply physics that has an attitude. What does that tell you? There's something going on. The quantum factor will be discovered on this planet, and it's going to fly in the face of logic and 3D and the way things work. All of this may not be seen in my partner's lifetime, and he's all right with that. He's very all right with that. Now, he stands next to me, but I'm going to tell you about him. Because he knows he'll be here. He may even participate. He doesn't care what his body looks like. He just cares that he'll be here. And he will. And I want to tell you, old soul, that at this moment, the potentials are that no matter how old you are in this room, you'll be here with him. Because you're not going to miss the finale. The ramp up is difficult. The old souls in front of me have signed on to work. They waited for this energy for lifetimes. Their parents, and I've spoken of this before, came into this planet knowing full well they would have children that would be in this new energy that would have the chance of changing Earth. Your parents didn't. Before they got here, when they had the mind of God, they said, we're going to go in and we're not going to wake up and we're not going to understand. We may even be abusive. We may give them a hard time. We may even disown them. But we're going to have them. And we hope they forgive us for what we do in an old energy, but this is what we're doing because we have the mind of God before we get to Earth, and we know that they are going to change things. Do you ever think of your parents that way? I have mentioned this now 5 times in channel. I can't mention it too often. There are those here who need to hear it. Do you ever think of your parents in that light? After what they've perhaps done, many of you had wonderful parents, and then there are others who don't want to ever talk to them, and some of them are here, and some of them are dead. And I want to tell you that the core soul of all the parents knew of this energy potential. They knew that their job was to have you as a child. Old soul. And this is really going to put time in a circle for you because you stood next to them when they came in. With an agreement, a handshake, a hug, let's go do it. My partner says the light workers sit before him. All right, light worker, I want to ask you, if you now know what I know about your parents, who's the light worker? I said that over and over. It's your parents who went through this in an old energy and perhaps never woke up and perhaps gave you a real bad time. Well, maybe this is the time to forgive everything and see the core inside them, the mind of God that they had to bring you into this earth in a difficult situation. There are those here who were born on different continents. I know who you are who sit here. Even more difficult there for a parent to say, we're going to have a light worker, an old soul. And why were they so sure that this would work? Because they saw the quantum factor, the benevolence of the quantumness that you were beginning to absorb and understand. Quantum energy is just around the corner. That will be the next largest discovery on the planet. It's been held back from you because it takes a higher vibrating consciousness to create it. When any planet discovers a quantum energy and is able to use it, you can go to that planet and know that you will meet high consciousness entities. Never given to you before that. For in the quantum factor contains planetary travel, interplanetary travel, entangled states, ways of doing things you never thought could happen. You can throw away your rocket ships. Oh, how 3D of you. You're on the edge of that. Now let me take you to the very small. Over a decade ago, Vladimir Papoinyan, Russian scientist, used light in an experiment with one molecule of DNA. And he discovered a field around DNA. Light patterned itself into a mathematical equation when DNA was around it. He discovered that DNA had a field, a quantum field. Not only that, it was a quantum field filled somehow with information. How else could it pattern light into a sine wave? A field that is quantum, that is filled with information that came from a quantum biologist, not cryon. And I follow that up. And I am telling you what DNA is, and it's time for you to know. When the human genome was transcribed, every single chemical in it was seen. The numbers are shocking. For in a molecule so small you cannot see it without an electron microscope, there are 3 billion chemicals in the double helix. The smallest of the small, all of those are quantum. They all qualify. They're small enough. And yet your three-dimensional scientists were looking for patterns. They wanted to know what creates 36,000 genes of the human body. By the way, there's more. I'm using a number of theirs, not mine. And that's all they were interested in. They did not see DNA in a quantum state. They were not looking for that, even though the very size of DNA must yell at that which is logic, that it has to be quantum. They were not looking for that. Instead, they counted chemicals. Instead, they looked for codes. And they found them. In 3.5% of the 3 billion, there were protein-encoded parts that made all the genes. 3.5%. Over 90% was random. It did nothing that they could see. Still to this day, even with that information, they do not see the obvious, that the 90% is quantum and the 3.5% is linear. And they have to ask the question eventually when they see it, what is in the 90% that is quantum? And now we get to it, don't we? And I will tell you, 100% information, instruction sets for your life. Everything from your higher self, you might say, everything from that to your Akashic record, you might say, every single lifetime, every single talent. Biologically, every single instruction to every single stem cell. That's what's in your DNA. And it's all quantum. Now, I'm giving you this information so that you will understand something that is coming next. In your 3D life, you simply accept the chemicals you're given. And you act as though the 3.5% is all there is. And you take it as a standard that is unchangeable. You don't see it for the way it is designed. Think of DNA as a race car. Think of 3.5% of it as the engine. It always does the same thing, over and over and over, always does the same thing. And 95% is the consciousness of the driver behind the wheel. Only you haven't discovered the driver. And therefore you live with the 3.5% as though it were all that there is. And you never talk to it. Many of you come in with predispositions based upon the karma which is put upon you from your past lives. You don't come in clean. You come in with predispositions, fears, and phobias. Some of it is positive. You come in as a prodigy, continuing your last life, the 8-year-old who can paint like a master and do brushstrokes that take 30 years to develop as soon as she can hold a brush. What does that tell you about what must be in the DNA? The composer, the pianist, the prodigy, the violinist, just waiting till their hands can go on the fingerboard and they can reach up and fret the notes. They come in knowing how to play the piano, just waiting for their hands to get big enough to do it without a lesson. How do you explain that? Dear ones, it's all on the DNA. And you never talk to it. Let me take you to cellular division. We've said this before. You need to hear this to understand how this works. A cell is ready to divide. It rejuvenates the human body, all tissue. You've been told that there's some tissue that does not rejuvenate. That is incorrect. It all rejuvenates at different speeds, at different times, and different ways. It rejuvenates. You know, the human body is designed to live a long time. Unfortunately, the energy that you have created on this planet and what you've gone through has beat it up. You don't live much more than 80 years. The biblical creatures that you call human beings that were sometimes prophets and sometimes masters and sometimes just there lived for hundreds of years. Did they really, or is that just a metaphor? Did they get that right in the Bible without a mistranscription? I'm going to tell you the truth. It's very accurate. Thousands of years ago, you lived a very long time. Lemurian, if you knew your lifespan, you'd gasp. But not anymore. Instructions have been given literally by the energy of the planet that you live in. A cell divides. Right before it divides, it needs the blueprint. The blueprint is available from the stem cell. The stem cell gets its information from the quantum part of the DNA. It's never changed since you were born. It's remained static. Nothing has ever changed it. And you don't believe it's changeable. There's not a conscious effort to do anything, and it just lays there like it always did. And it talks to the stem cell and says, do the same thing you always did. The stem cell talks to the cell that is dividing, saying, make another one just the same. And you rejuvenate just like the last one. And now I'm going to give you a secret. There is another quantum energy on the planet that has the quantum factor. A benevolence. And that is new. And you sit in now a revolutionary change, and some of you are aware of it and feeling it, and it's called a shift of human consciousness, and it's shifting into the quantum factor. It is becoming benevolent. And it is why you're seeing this earth react the way it is. You're starting to see those who will not allow the old systems. You will not have dictators anymore. They want control over their lives. They don't want war. They want their families to be safe. And you're seeing it over and over in these places that have had dictators for years. The question was asked, when will Africa be included in this? A benevolent revolution, and I will tell you, the next generation, and guess who's going to be there to make sure it happens? The man in the chair. And he's going to have black skin. And he's going to be right where he needs to be. And he can hardly wait. 75 years from now, he'll be there. Ready to go. And he's not going to be a channeler. And there's no way to prove that, is there? And he won't know who he used to be. He'll just know what he's supposed to do. There's going to be a healed Africa by then, ripe and ready to develop one of the most abundant and filled with resources, continents that this planet has ever seen, without any history that is political. They don't have to unlearn anything. They can start from scratch. They can take the best of any system that they've ever seen and build it. Africa will become one of the most abundant continents in the world. And by the way, they're going to have one currency. And you say, well, what about China? They're awfully large. Look at what they've done. Look at what they have to unlearn. Africa will only have the history that you see today: sickness, dictators. All of that is going to change, and he'll be there. And how do I know that? Because that's what he's agreed to in advance. In a quantum state, the quantum factor is benevolent, and he knows it. Synchronicity is benevolent. Did you know that? If you wait for synchronicity in your life, God is never going to give you a snake when you ask for an apple. We've told you this before. This is benevolent energy on the planet working in synchronicity for you. Did you ever wonder how energy can be developed like this? And it loves you, and it has an attitude. Here's what you should know. In this shift of human consciousness, you're starting to receive the quantum factor in human consciousness. Human consciousness is starting to have this quantum factor. That is to say, it is becoming benevolent. And that means as you are now able to interface with another field, a field around you called the Merkaba, which is your DNA, you have one confluence of quantumness interfacing another. And I don't know if you know what that means in physics, and I will tell you. And that is this, that what you think, you create. And the first thing you're able to do is rewrite your DNA. How'd you like to live another 100 years? And you give me a 3D answer, and I just heard it here, and your minds are going crazy. I don't want to look that way. It's bad enough what I look like at 90. Well, 3D of you. Earth won't support it. The population will be too big. Oh, how 3D of you. What if, just what if, you became wiser as well? What if you started to control that which is your population and the use of the Earth's resources? What if you stopped using up the resources of Earth and depended upon the ocean for power, as we've told you? What if you decided to dig a hole and make steam out of the heat that's below your feet instead of building a nuclear reactor? For a nuclear reactor is the world's most expensive steam engine. That's all it is. It makes steam. And there's lots of ways of making steam that will not then hurt one animal or one molecule of air. And it lays there ready for your discovery. And I'll tell you, you're there. You're almost there. You can rewrite your DNA. Now, you're not thinking like I'm thinking, because I'm going to tell you what's in your DNA. It's the consciousness that you have at the moment that actually controls that which you think, your attitude, your human nature. So let's just go for it. There are those in this room that need to hear this. Who is it you won't forgive? Who is it you think has etched into your life something you can never forget and that you wake up every day with it? I know who's here. Etched into your life. And when a cell divides, let us call it a brain cell, it asks the same or different. And it goes back to the stem cell for the blueprint. And the stem cell goes to the DNA, and it looks, and oh, would you believe that? The DNA has another instruction set. It's becoming more benevolent. It's more peaceful. Look at that. The event which caused that groove of horror that can never be forgotten is gone. And it talks then to the stem cell, and the stem cell then gives that print to the cell that is dividing, and it says different, not the same. And a new cell is created in your mind that has a new blueprint. And so you might say that what you're going to do in the future has changed your past. And there it is. How much more quantum can you get? Are you paying attention? You can rewrite anything. That's the power of the human being. In this new energy, old souls will pick it up first. It's the old soul who's going to start changing, and people will see it in your human nature, and they'll say, what have you got? I want it. You don't ever have to give them a crayon book. You never have to say one word. They watch you work with other human beings. They watch you love others who are unlovable. They watch you care about people who you could never care about. And then you start to see it in areas you never thought you'd see it. Politics will begin to change. The way you do business starts to change. What you expect of each other becomes benevolent. Oh, there will always be those unbalanced. There will always be that which you cannot control. There will always be humans. There will always be ones that land in prison. They will be the ones who come to the planet for the first time, haven't got a clue what to do. Do everything wrong, seemingly, just like you did. There is a lineage in the room, not just one of many lifetimes, but one of wisdom that brings you to the chair. And the questions you ask about civilization and Earth are wise ones. When are we going to learn the lessons, you say? Well, you have, in order to have asked the question, haven't you? There is a wisdom pool sitting in the room that is enormous. Don't you feel it? And so, dear human being, you start talking to your DNA in a benevolent way, and you say to the stem cells, you say to the all that is, you say, why don't we have a situation where the telomeres don't shorten every time the cell divides? Oh, and the information goes to the stem cell, and the stem cell is queried by the cell that is dividing, and the telomeres are there, and they don't shorten. And therefore, the one that is produced doesn't age, and you youth. And that's the truth. You start to return to an energy that you thought you'd lost, where human beings are allowed to live longer and can live longer, and it doesn't destroy the environment. They don't overcrowd themselves because they can control it through their minds and through wisdom. How many children to have? What is appropriate? What works in the society? What is beneficial to all? The quantum factor. Someday you'll meet them. They're here now. You've got Pleiadian brothers and sisters who live a very, very long time in a graduate situation in a planet that went through the test just like yours and came out with a quantum factor. They have benevolence. They have quantum energy. That's how they get here instantly in return. And they'll never interrupt your free choice, and that's why they don't land and say hello. Instead, they sit and cheer on the sidelines at what you've finally done. You don't know how close you are to changing everything. If you look at the planet over the last 50 years, you have to see it. You've changed human nature. You look at some of these countries that have low consciousness and low dictators and what they're doing, and you can't believe it. And the rest of the world rolls their eyes and say, what is this barbaricness? That's a wise earth that can see who they used to be. Human nature is not static. And now I've given you the secret, old soul, in this room. I want you to start using that, which is your higher consciousness, to talk to your bodies every day. What is it you want to start with? What have you come for? There's healings that need to be done in this room. Will you accept them? Will you accept them? And if there is a resounding yes from those who know what I'm talking about, I want to give you the invitation to imprint right now with all of us permission to change. And get out of that 3D attitude that you can't change anything biologically in your body. Have you ever heard of spontaneous remission? Do you know what that is? That is a human being who has gone into a state where they actually have rewritten the stem cells in their body to the extent that their immune system is able to carry out something that is called apoptosis at 100% virility. And what I mean by that is that there is a process in the human body that will recognize invaders and sick cells and destroy them. They call it cellular suicide. The cell knows it's diseased, and so it stops functioning. Did you know you had that? That is spontaneous remission. Only through old energy and eons of unpractice, you've forgotten how. And so you get the cancers, don't you? And all the other things that attach them to your body and grow. Isn't it odd? And we've said this before. Isn't it odd that your body won't even tell you what it's doing? And you've got to go to a guy in a white coat to find out. Isn't it time that stopped? You need to start communication. You need to listen to the intuition. You need to talk to your body every day. Are you okay? What can I do? What would you like? Let's start rewriting the DNA to live a long time. Let's shorten the telomeres. Let's start with high consciousness and how we react to anger. Let us imprint our DNA with the benevolence of God. Let us take the hand of the higher self and finally learn what is in the Pleiadian layers that they gave you. You haven't opened that bag yet. And it lays there, and it's been there for over 100,000 years, waiting for you to discover it. And when you do, you'll visit another planet, and you'll give them the seed of your benevolence, and you'll have peace on Earth. I wouldn't tell you this unless you could look at it and see it's happening. Before we close, dear ones, we'll say this is a slow process. We have seen it before. We've told you before. It happens through generations. It happens through children of the children of the children. It is not anything that you're going to see in a flashbulb experience. There may be some things that move backwards for a while before they move forward, but if you look at the all that is together, a slow ship with a rudder of wisdom is steering toward a time when hatred will be something you don't know about, because quantum energy is benevolent. And that is the truth this day. That is the energy this day. That are the potentials that I see this day. And that is why we bring you this message this day. Go from this place different than you came, knowing more about who you are, what you've done, and what is before you. And I'm crying. In this entourage, lover of humanity. And so it is.